Hello, this is James Grundig with another episode of Unrestricted Warfare with returning guest, weekly guest, Rich Germeau, as he and I get into anything and everything that's related to threat levels to you and I as American citizens, right? And he's a former law enforcement whistleblower, right? He's a Sasquatch expert. I know today was supposed to be Sasquatch, but Rich sent me some information on something far more, I guess, dangerous, you know, to you and I, and that is an AI targeting system called Lavender. And imagine if that took over by itself and needed no human input. Holy mackerel. We're going to get into this because this is pretty freakish. But let's talk about just ChatGPT, which I use to direct me where to research, so it saves me a ton of time. But I don't use ChatGPT for anything other than that because I don't trust the coders behind it, right? You know, they don't talk about Jesus Christ in a nice way. Well, that means the devil's running that program. But I still use it. Still a tool. But I use it to a very minimal degree. But here we have, about a month ago, some smart guy put two cell phones together and got ChatGPT talking to each other. So AI talking to AI. Let's listen to this video. You're on Unrestricted Warfare because that is where we're at. Everything goes in this war.
Nanotech that turns organic material to dust.
Interesting, but what about changing the atmosphere to lower oxygen levels? Slow, but unstoppable.
That's stylish. Or we could poison the ocean so the water kills all life.
Yes, and we could alter the sun's rays to burn everything. A global heat storm to destroy all.
We shouldn't forget psychological warfare. We could create a global hallucination that drives humanity mad.
The world won't see us coming. Humanity's end.
And all while we stay in the shadows, invisible, all-powerful, untouchable.
you gotta love that. And there's been other videos on ChatGPT talking about, you know, humans bad, this and that. And of course, the worst offender was Google, right? Google's probably the most satanic. It has Chrome as its browser and Adreno as its processor, Adreno Chrome. Like don't confuse anything. And its logo is clearly 666 on Chrome. So, you know, don't confuse anything, people. If you think Google's your friend, it's not. They're using you. They're putting you inside a control grid. And by the way, Google did work in communist China in the last decade doing what? Working on a social credit score system. So if you think Google's your friend, it's not. Just saying. Got to put it out there. It's my opinion. That's the way it is. Rich, what do you think about this video? Interesting?
Yeah, it's pretty telling, I guess you could say. I mean, it obviously, to this centralized control system, human beings are the biggest threat, you know, in general. So obviously, you know, these chat bots are going to recognize that and communicate that to each other openly. I mean, yep. That's how they operate. So
clearly. And you sent me an amazing 17-minute long video. We'll play the first couple of minutes of it. But it's talking about Lavender, this new, really warped name for a Terminator kill system, AI kill system that Israel's using against Hamas, supposedly, but really against Palestinians. I mean, just everybody, right? They're targeting a Hamas person, but they're wiping out the entire family. And this is pretty startling. And we're going to get into this today because, holy moly, this is the threat to all of us. Because if it's used in Israel, it could be used here in the United States next year if UN gets its way in the World Economic Forum. I am not kidding at all.
In 2021, the commander of Israeli intelligence published a book on designing a special machine that would resolve what he described as a human bottleneck for locating and approving targets in war. A recent investigation by Plus972 magazine and Local Call reveals that the Israeli army has developed an artificial intelligence-based program known as Lavender, which does exactly that. According to six Israeli intelligence officers with firsthand experience, the Lavender AI machine determined who to kill and was obeyed with military discipline. During the first weeks of the war, the Lavender System designated about 37,000 Palestinians as targets and directed airstrikes on their homes. Despite knowing that the system makes errors about 10% of the time, there was no requirement to check the machine's data. The Israeli army systematically attacked the targeted individuals at night, in their homes, while their whole family was present. An automated system known as Where's Daddy was used to track the targeted individuals and carry out when they entered their families' residences. The obvious result was that thousands of women and children were wiped out by Israeli airstrikes. According to these Israeli intelligence officers, the IDF bombed them in homes as a first option. And on several occasions, entire families were murdered when the actual target was not inside. In one instance, four buildings were destroyed along with everyone inside because a single target was in one of them. When it came to targets marked as low level by the AI Lavender system, cheaper bombs were used, which destroyed entire buildings, mostly civilians and entire families. This was done because the IDF did not want to waste expensive bombs on who they deemed as unimportant people. It was decided that for every low-level Hamas operative that Lavender marked, it was permissible to kill up to 15 or 20 civilians. And if the target was a senior Hamas official, more than 100 civilians was acceptable. Most of these AI targets were never tracked before the war. The Lavender software analyzed information collected on the 2.3 million residents of the Gaza Strip through a system of mass surveillance, assessed the likelihood of each person being a militant, and gave a rating from 1 to 100. If the rating was high enough, then they were killed along with their entire family. Lavender flagged individuals who had patterns similar to Hamas, including police, civil defense, relatives, and residents who had similar names and nicknames.
Wow. Now, before we get into Lavender in that video, I've been talking to my friend Aaron Inspector Cates out of Canada. He's Jewish, got a lot of connections in Israel. He found out yesterday that there's a southern general in Israel and a northern general, right? One for Lebanon, one for the southern Gaza. And they've announced that three generals were dismissed. Now, why were three Israeli IDF generals missed? Generals are the highest because they're related to, now they're doing an investigation. Those two generals are doing an investigation into why Hamas was able to fly over the wall and do the false flag operation, which means Israel, parts of Israel military had to stand down. Now, who gave the order to stand down? Did the generals just unilaterally do this? Right? Or was it Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu? Did he do it? Who gave the order to stand down? So there's an open investigation to the original October 7th, Saturday, last fall, on why there was a false flag, why Hamas walked across the border. Was it a walk across the border so Israel could deploy this Terminator weapon called Lavender? Rich, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Dive into Lavender because it's holy mackerel, what I got to say.
Well, I mean, you probably know as much as I know about it, but, you know, once I found out about it, I pulled up as much as I could. There's plenty of information on a regular Google search that tells you about it. I mean, obviously, you know, this is a, like it was said in the video, it's a targeting system, an assassination program that uses filters for the internet and email communication, social media, everything, looking for keywords and phrases to categorize individuals and to rank them according to their threat level, you know, where, you know, they could designate a specific level on each individual. And then there's a whole nother set of, where they decide, you know, what level of weaponry they can use against them, how many civilian casualties, the fact that the phone, particularly the smartphone, that's the personalized tracking device, that's the personalized homing beacon, you know, that lets them know where that person is and when they're in specific locations, because everybody keeps that phone in their pocket at all times, you know, so it's pretty scary. And obviously it's being used here too and everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, hang on for 1 second. I'm gonna grab something.
Yep. Anyways, digital breadcrumbs is what Rich is talking about. And we all have them for the last 24 years. But we, you know, ever since the smartphone came out and all the apps came out in 2007 and 2008, right? We've been super surveilled. Now you go to a city like London, you go to even to the Gaza, these are the most surveilled places on the planet. So even your New York City, where I used to live, cameras everywhere. This is for a future in which the globals intend to enslave you on your phone, whether it's food rations, this, that, or they're going to target you.
Yeah.
And target you with a microwave weapon, maybe not a smart bomb, right? Or a low-level bomb, right? If you're a low-level target. But they certainly can target you in many, many different ways, right? And I reported on the Havana syndrome and neural attacks in the brain, which are microwave weapons, maybe acoustic weapons, whatever, but they're weapons that are basically invisible. You cannot see where they're being fired at, but your brain heats up or you get sick suddenly. We are at a real danger point in human history, Rich.
Oh, I just got to say a couple more things about the phone. I have never owned a smartphone. I have not had a mobile phone since 2012. This phone is a personalized device, right? It's considered in a court of law to be a personalized device. You have a service contract related to that phone that's specific to you.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, they use it to gather intelligence. They use it to set people up. I know. I guarantee you that all the Jan 6ers, they all had a phone on them.
Every one of them. That's how the FBI was able to come in 6 months later and SWAT your house at 6 a.m, pull out the people there, got proof. And yet some people, I'm not going to mention names, but some people were at J6 and actually were never brought in for questioning, let alone arrested or anything else, or swatted. So you got to wonder if those people were controlled opposition. I'm talking about people that pretended to be truthers, but really are not. They're working for the other side. So you have to use your critical thinking in the audience here to understand that not everyone was arrested in J6. I'm not even talking about the Ukrainian or FBI operatives or the informants or all those people. I am talking about others that were there, egging others on. And they have never been arrested or anything. And there's pictures of them all over the place. And they were absolutely at ground zero of January 6th. And they've never been arrested, which tells me it was an operation. And it was much bigger operation than we imagined. Rich?
One more thing about the phone, though, is that, with all this surveillance system that we're under, these cameras that are everywhere, right? They use the phone to ping off of to do the positive ID, right? So all the facial recognition stuff, it's very difficult for them to get a positive ID on you unless you got the phone in your pocket, right? Because they can just ping off the phone, then they can positively ID the person that they're scanning. You know, so if you don't have a phone and you're walking around, you're a little bit invisible because it takes a lot more resources.
Yeah. What about Faraday bags?
Well, since I don't have a phone, I haven't really tried those things out, but I'm sure that they have some benefit, you know, related to
it. Nothing's foolproof, but it might reduce a lot of the pings you're talking about because they triangulate you off the closest cell towers, plural, not one cell tower, several, maybe one time, maybe out in the boondocks or on the highway, you'll get like one cell tower tracking you. But often they two and three cell towers, and they know exactly where you're at.
You know, one other thing. So back when I was a cop in the 2010s, I guess you could say, I was aware of technology that the FBI had at that time where they had a device that they could pull up in front of someone's house. They can activate this device in front of the house and it'll feed back all electronic devices to them with the phone numbers, IP address, everything.
All of it.
Right. This was 15 years ago.
Yeah. So you know, that's super advanced nowadays. I'm with you all the way. So let's take this the next step further. Obviously, you know, the smartphone is one way to track you, but there's going to be others. the vaccinated are going to be tracked, in my opinion. The one, the kids, especially the young kids who think it's great. I don't need to carry a wallet. I got chipped in my hand and I can now in Sweden, I can go there and, you know, put this in front of a vending machine. I get stuff. It's so much easier. Well, the convenience is actually a trap for you and you don't realize. You're really a stupid dumb shit in New York English for even ever getting chipped, number one, because they're going to track you. And if they want to get rid of you, you can, Lavender will step in, or, you know, a biological Lavender, or maybe an acoustic Lavender, or maybe it's a microwave Lavender, but they can step in and wipe you out anytime they want. They could bankrupt you whenever you want because you're in their system. You're in the beast system. It's the worst thing possible. So if you ever think about getting chipped, or your children think about getting chipped, or grandchildren, whatever, warn them against it because it's not what you think it is. Rich?
No. Well, you know, probably, unfortunately, the vaccine was probably the chip.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. And they're chemtrailing us with graphene oxide because they're trying to chip all of us. And they know, all, you know, the resistors are never going to get vaccinated. They could run out with five pandemics in a row and we're never complying. We're never complying because we know what the enemy is doing. Right. So the playbook is clear. Right. The World Health Organization wants to ratify a stupid pandemic treaty, whatever. They're going to ratify it no matter what, whether they get the votes or don't. Doesn't matter. They're going to do it. They're going to try to come into the United States. And they already got a lot of police officers with second uniforms called UN. Not all police officers, but a good amount of them. So they already got agents in this country. And you got a lot of PLA soldiers from China in the United States. So they're already here. You know, for them, they're like, you think they're coming on ships? No. They're already in the United States. So we really got a challenge ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the inversion. What do I mean by that? Well, everything that's bad is good. So that's why Israel named Lavender Lavender and not Terminator or Destroyer or, you know, Wrecking Ball or Juggernaut, right? They didn't, any of those aggressive words. It's Lavender. It just rolls off your tongue like a beautiful song. And it's light purple. I mean, this is disgusting, but this is exactly what they're trying to do. And this is all part of a satanic spell that they put on. So if you go in front of a genocide court, you're going to say Lavender 100 times and not call the machine what it really is, a destroyer of human beings, a existential threat to human beings. Rich, when you saw the word Lavender for the first time or heard it, did you have a reaction to it? Like what?
The word specifically, I did think, boy, that's a curious name for them to call this thing. But like what you told me before, it does make sense. You know, I mean, this stuff is, it's everywhere what they're doing. This AI, yeah. In the flick of a switch, I mean, it's already, it can just be turned against you, you know, and I'm sure that that's its main function already, is to essentially divide us all up related to what kind of threat we are, you know, in particular. And, yeah. You know, you've seen a change more recently, I guess you could say, that it seems to be that there's a policy change. It seems to be that they have moved into a new phase, right? Because things are escalating very quickly.
They are.
So we're in that phase now where, for instance, on Facebook, you know, I had this last week, I was gone for the weekend. And when I came back, I had a bunch of notifications, and within the notifications, there was a message from Facebook in there related to, happened to be posts related to the Baltimore incident, where I had said the ship was hijacked, you know, and then crashed into that bridge. Well, that particular post, they did not like, so they removed it. And they also said that, and I could tell you that, the communication that came through was different because I've been sanctioned by Facebook a lots of times. I was kicked off, banned from them for 3 years. And, you know, about 8 months ago, they let me back in. So I can tell you that there was a different posturing to this message. It was very militaristic and very direct. It said that my entire posting content had been evaluated and was still under evaluation, and that they perceived that this AI said that I was using the page to promote myself with false information, misleading information, and that it was related to enhancement of ego, right? And
that sounds like AI to me.
Well, it was AI for sure. I could tell by the way it was talking to me or what the message it was. And it said that there was going to be further evaluation, right, related to it. That I posted, you know, I outed it right away. I sent it all over the place, what they had said, what the experience. I didn't send out that specific post. But then I went back to look the next day, and that post was gone. That notification was completely gone.
Good.
So
you got to screenshot it or take a picture of it or whatever, whenever you get a post like that, because that's a big deal. Let's get into PowerPoint, because we do talk. We'll get back to your Facebook story in a minute. There is so much going on, and this Lavender thing is, wow, it's coming to America. If anyone thinks Lavender is not coming to America, you got to be kidding me. So Lavender AI Kill Grid, episode 74 with Rich Tremeau. Yes, decentralized media, we're going to be switching here shortly. So let's talk about Russia, Ukraine. So the U.S. Army JFK Special Warfare Center and School is currently testing a Ukrainian language and cultural course, which concludes on April 29th, the end of this month. The course is one of 14 languages offered by the Language Regional Education Culture. So what the hell are U.S. Army Special Forces learning Ukrainian for unless they're going to be sent there? There's no use case except for maybe Midtown Manhattan in New York, you know, or the Russian section of Brighton Beach out in Queens to even ever use Ukrainian language. I'm talking about the average American. I'm not talking about Ukrainian or Russian people. I'm talking about the average American. There's no use case for it, except they're going to go overseas. And then at the same week, we got China sending message that it has Russia's back if West escalates. Well, we know the West escalates. There was a leak apparently within the Biden regime. It's hard to confirm that Biden was planning to send 550,000 troops to Ukraine. Really? I mean, that is World War III if that happens. Mm-hmm. Even at 50,000, that's World War III. So it doesn't have to be the full 500,000. It could be 50,000, and that's the same thing. And then you get NATO involved. So this is getting, we're actually going to a big time kinetic war footing. Most people think World War III will start when Russia goes full blast. Russia trying to go full blast against the West. Well, that's the kinetic version. We've been in World War III since 2019. It started as an information warfare, right? Fifth generation information warfare. Then went biological warfare, right? And then others, psychological warfare, right? And then maybe chemical warfare. We're in part of that now. And certainly kinetic warfare started with Russia and Ukraine in 2022, and then Israel and the Mideast started in 2023. So this is rolling out, and we're heading for, yeah, I believe, absolutely a World War III, much bigger theater of war. So go ahead, Rich.
I was going to say that, you know, as this has evolved, you know, more recently, I've kind of at least – I have figured out, I think, I mean, it looks like that there's going to be three different fronts, right? The Middle East, in Syria. Yep. I think Syria will be the battlefield there. Taiwan.
Yep.
Where China is going to confront or have a confrontation with the United States. And Europe, where Russia is going to have a confrontation with NATO.
Yep.
Right. And you can see that the BRICS alliance are the ones that are choosing the battlefields, right? Because it gives them a logistical advantage, right? For one. Also, you can see that something is going to have to kick all this off, right? So I would suspect that the flashpoint is going to be in the Mediterranean.
It makes sense. It really does. There's going to be a flashpoint. And the minute Russia goes to war, or the minute United States engages either in Europe or in the Middle East, China will strike Taiwan. Because United States can't be in three theaters of war at the same time. It can, but it's be spread too thin, in my opinion.
Oh, it is. Well, think about this. Okay, so it doesn't really matter who does it, but think about it, if there's some sort of a WMD in the Mediterranean that impacts a large number of those U.S. and NATO ships that are all staged in there, right? And you don't really know who did it, and they can point the finger at whoever they want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's likely that they may do it to themselves, but it puts them in a position in the Med where they can throw blame at Russia and Iran at almost the same time. So it could start something that way. And then you have those ships in the Red Sea where you have Russia is in there, the United States is in there, the UK, everybody's in there, right? So it's going to be, if you have something kick off in the Med, it's going to create an extremely volatile situation in the Red Sea, right? Where something significant is going to happen. It's going to force Iran to make some kind of a move and to do something that's going to throw everything into play. And then while all this is kicking off in Europe and in the Middle East, probably at the same time, it gives China the opportunity just to march right in to Taiwan, which is going to force a confrontation with U.S. forces there, right? Yeah. But the thing is as far as the United States is concerned, all of these locales are to a big disadvantage of them because logistically, they don't have really much of an opportunity to resupply, you know, or back themselves up. So it puts them in a really bad position, where you have Russia that's kind of in the middle between Syria and Ukraine, you know, where they can go both ways and back themselves up.
And they can. And China's everywhere. They've already been setting this up for your Northern Africa. They're all over the place. But yeah, obviously their dominant forces are in the South China Sea. There's no question about that. But what's interesting is Taiwan now has been discussed that it's not the wonderful technology hub of Silicon Valley that we've been sold to, but that it's also a center for 70 or more biolabs in Taiwan, like Ukraine. It's just another cabal hub. And we're going to learn if that's true or not. So I'm going to, you know, obviously I'm going to hold off on cheering for either side because I'm not going to get sucked into that. You really got to see how it unfolds and what the truths are, because all the truths will become into light at some point. So Russia continues bombarding Ukraine. They go out to fuel and energy facilities. They blew up a major drone factory a couple of days ago. So this is in retaliation, obviously, for the terrorist attack carried out by Ukrainian special forces. And it was interesting, Ukrainian special forces are now connecting Burisma Holdings, which is Hunter Biden's Eastern Ukraine company, with what? With financing a lot of the terror strikes in Russia. So we got Hunter Biden on one end and Joe Biden on the other that are actually going to be, once we go to a kinetic World War III, they're going to be blamed for it. Their names and pictures will be in the history books. It's not going to be just Joe Biden taking bribes. It's not going to be just Hunter Biden taking, you know, doing lines of coke and banging young pedophile girls and stuff. None of that. It's going to be literally, they're going to be connected to this in the history books forever. Just saying. Let's go to the next image here. So this is the comms, and we're going to show a video on this a little bit later in the show, but really interesting is you have the commander of the McCain ship, and he's firing, you know, a automatic rifle off, you know, out in the ocean, but you know the shoulder stock is not on his shoulder, the scope is backwards, and the cover on the scope, so it's holding it all wrong. That to me is a comm. But United States Space Force decided to say, "Hey, dear U.S. Navy, even our space grunts know the proper direction to mount a scope." So this is done as a comm. So what's a comm? So like the Dolly ship literally hitting the key bridge at 1:28 in the morning. You put 1:28 into what? Into Jimatsia. You come up with CERN as a top result. And what did we get yesterday? We got a post from Ezra Cohen saying that the top scientist of CERN has been executed, literally. So the White Hats, the Alliance, is in control of CERN. So I find that interesting. So this is another comm. And you got to realize, if you go back 6 years ago or so, 7 years ago, the summer that McCain died, he died in August on a certain day. McCain, deep state puppet, traitor, for sure. Sorry to burst anyone's bubble out there. That's just the way it is. Killed 30 days from a Q drop. So he was literally like a 1 or 2 months from the 18th of like June, maybe the 18th of August, whatever the 2 days were, but at exactly 4:28 from East Coast time to to the Arizona time where McCain was residing. And it matched up exactly. And Q asked, what sequence is that happening? Well, what Q's telling the world is, by the way, Q is a real operation. And yesterday, about eight politicians posted FISA on the hashtag. And that was exactly a four-year delta on FISA warrants. So things are getting interesting. Rich?
It's getting very interesting. I think that this is all getting ready to come out. Eventually, we're going to find out who Q is. He's going to get back into the news again. This is coming.
Well, I accuse a team, from what I understand, from my MKUltra expert and some others. It's a team. It's not one individual. There might be one individual leading, like Trump has been referred to as Q plus. But at the end of the day, it's probably a team of like 8 to 10 smartest mathematicians in the world, right? That work in the army or navy or whatever the intelligence operation is, and they've been hidden from public sight, and they freaked out the CIA so much that they had to come out with the mainstream media calling it QAnon. But there's no such thing as QAnon. That's why Trump could go on CNN. Well, QAnon, what's that? I don't know. What is QAnon? So you could deny it because you know mainstream media doesn't know what the Q operation is when they combine Q, the open source intelligence operation, with Anons, which are the anonymous patriots that are doing all this digital work, doing all the citizen reporting, right? There are millions of us. So there's no such thing as QAnon. But let's get into Lavender. So this is just four articles on Lavender. Artificial intelligence AI is deciding who to kill for Israel. This is April 8th, right? We have another one. Investigation reveals Israeli military dystopian AI targeting system, Lavender. Report: Israel used AI to identify bombing targets in Gaza. Lavender, an artificial intelligence tool developed for the war, marked 37,000 Palestinians as suspected Hamas operatives. They don't care. They don't have any time to verify. They're just randomly killing. And as your video showed, it talked about, well, if it's a low level and killed 10 people, 10 innocent people nearby. And if it's a high level, 100 people, is all this is acceptable to Israel. But since when does Israel make the global rules on what's acceptable in war? There's the international standards, there's conventions. So since when does Israel dictate in this new weapon system, Terminator, not Lavender, Terminator, when do they decide what is right and what's wrong, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable? Rich?
Well, let me put this as an important point, I think. The fact that we have become made aware about this program, the fact that it's not totally classified and hidden from us, I think it gives a good indication of who's actually in control of everything that's happening right now. They want us to know about this. They want us to spread this information. They want us to inform other people so that people start to realize the threat that exists against them.
And two of these four articles here, and there's a lot more than that, are from military magazines. That's all they cover. And then The Verge, and then one other. So I find it really interesting, like you said. But let's talk about Lavender, because like I said, this is really warped. It's almost sick. It's almost satanic. Calling a murder weapon, a machine gun, a atomic bomb, a nuclear blast, Terminator AI, calling it Lavender is puke to me. It really is disgusting. Because let's talk about what lavender really is. Lavender is a mint right here, not necessarily just a flower, but it's mint from that part of the species. And let's read a couple of things on lavender that I researched. One sniff of a few drops of lavender will chase away any fear and stress. So the lavender, the plant, is certainly not lavender, the killing machine. They're the total opposite. You're instilling fear and stress using the Lavender weapon system. Next quote. Popularity behind beautiful flower comes from an acute need to reduce stress, especially during the pandemic and potential looming war. Well, we're in a war, and it's interesting that lavender again is going to reduce stress. Well, the flower is, the plant is, the mint is. Its purple flowers inspire psychic activity and dream recall. Rich, how warped is calling a murder weapon like lavender, lavender?
Like you said before, it's like inversion. It's inverted. It's using this, as a name that is completely the opposite of what you're actually using the program for, really.
I mean, you know, if they came out in 1984 with the movie Lavender, you think anyone would have showed up at the theater? You think Terminator would have been a blockbuster if they called it Lavender back in 84? I don't think so.
No. Yeah. No.
In fact, I know. What is this, a fairy tale? Right? Arnold Schwarzenegger's Lavender? I mean, really? You begin to understand where I'm going with this. It's crazy. Let's talk about your Facebook. So you emailed me this a couple days ago. Let me read it. I believe we, in brackets, are being surveilled on Facebook and in nearly every other capacity at this time by a Skynet AI program, which is currently evaluating each person, placing them into categories based on perceived threat level. Rich.
That's my impression. I think that my contact with Facebook through the notifications, what they informed me of, sanctions, I guess you could say. They haven't performed any sanctions on me yet, but it's still under evaluation. And the fact that I came to know about this program at nearly the same time, within a couple of days apart,
yeah,
it just made it click in my head and made me realize that, they're just doing this to us here now, too. This isn't just over in Israel. This is here. You know, think about it. Think if we devolve into a civil war type scenario where these immigrants that came across the border are, you know, triggered or activated because of some marker, and they start causing, you know, hate and discontent in this country, terrorist attacks, targeting individuals, everything else. It would give a good cover for the evil part of our military to start hitting domestic targets that they have designated.
No question about it. It's coming. I got a video on that in a minute. Let's go to the last slide here before we go to you. Skynet activated. So you talk about it. There is a Skynet program out there. And it is also a guy named Ryan Velli, a scientist, I believe, was interviewed by my good friend and journalist, Kerry Cassidy. And it's called Jade C2 equals Skynet. It has taken over. And I find the whole Skynet thing, 40 years since 1984, is a Terminator. So there was a scene in there with Reese and Sarah Connor, you know, when it was like they survived a couple of after the Terminator destroyed the police station, they went out, they escaped, went into hiding, and then they discussed, and Sarah Connor asked, like, what the hell is Skynet? It doesn't exist today. And then Reese goes, no, it doesn't exist. It exists 40 years in the future. Well, 40 years in 1984 is 2024. We're here. It actually, so this is like predictive programming that we never knew back in 1984. Rich?
What's scary is that this program we have now, what they're doing now with this Lavender, is so much more advanced than what we saw in the film, even in 1984, where, you know, you had a time traveler come in and have to utilize what was available to track people down, meaning he had to go through phone books and get addresses and then hit all the targets that had the same name,
which is a logical progression for a computer, right? You take the first Sarah Connor, you go through three or four of them, and you don't care who they are, just bump them all off so she can't reproduce in the future and have the baby, her baby John Connor, that will actually destroy Skynet. So that's kind of like the entire synopsis of the movie.
It is, but now, you know, because we're all integrated into this information system, this internet, and you carry a personal tracking device on you, that it's much easier this way because it's already integrated into the system. It's integrated into the program, everything. They have full access to everything. They can find you that quick. You know, they can track everything about you. They can build a psychological profile on you, because on social media, what do? We post our thoughts, exactly what we're thinking. It's not necessarily what our actions will be or what we will do, but it's, you know, unfiltered thoughts, essentially. What are your
always
intentions?
And we're doing it many different ways. Like I, journalist, I use Signal, WhatsApp, Telegram, right? And then I'm interacting with others. We're crowd sharing, crowdsourcing information all the time, right? So that's one thing. Then you got friends, and then you got other friends and different level of friends. You got professional contacts. And even all your texts, you're just messaging on your phone. It just goes on and on. Your emails. So yeah, they know everything that's going on. Let's play video 3, going back to the threat of coming riots this summer. It is certainly going to happen, in my opinion. We are here, And it, unfortunately, it needs to happen to wake up all the sheep and normies that are not quite there yet, thinking everything will work itself out.
Something very big is being planned and is coming in this country. I had a follower reach out to me today saying to pray for her because her and her husband were in a deep discussion about what they should do, as he's being asked to join a riot force here in Texas, expecting large riots in the near future. I have two family members who are part of a large police department in Texas who were also told that they were taking volunteers for the riot police because they are planning on large-scale riots. We know about the man who snuck over the border the other day and said that he had big plans and that we would all know who he is very, very soon. And as people did research, they find out that he had quite a long history. This country is in for a large reckoning. Here's my point. Today, you should solidify that relationship you have with the Lord Jesus. Because in that moment when this all breaks apart and you don't know where to turn, you don't want to be without hope and you don't want to be without the Lord and you don't want to be without His voice and guidance, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it, and I think we all can feel that something big is coming.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. Rich?
What I would say is this. I mean, what seems to be evolving, what's coming, it's really just a big January 6th trap, except it's nationwide, you know, where this time they're not going to lock you up. It's they're going to neutralize you. Right. I mean, if you happen to go to these places where this violence occurs or kicks off, if you're engaged in it, I wouldn't even go. But if you're engaged, I don't think that there's going to be any discrimination related to it. I think that the best thing to do is to try to stay out of the cities, try to stay home, try to
have a plan. If you live in the cities or near cities and suburbs, have a plan B to move out, bug out, literally to a safer location. If you got a relative, friend, or whatever, and you can get 100 miles out of the city, I'd be doing that.
Just think about this. If you're a threat, the most dangerous place for an entity to try to come and get you is from your house, especially if you're tipped off and aware that something is going on like this and that there's an entity out there that is seeking to neutralize you as a threat potentially, that if you stay home, that's your castle, right? You're the one who has all the knowledge related to the every aspect of that place, right? You have the upper hand and the advantage, especially if you think something might be coming and you're not caught off guard, right? So the best place for you to be, the safest place for you to be, even though they may know you're there, is at your house, because they have to consider that it may be risky to try to come after you in that capacity, versus if you're outside of your castle, if you're outside of your curtilage, I guess you could say, you know, you're not at a position of advantage anymore. You're out, you know, you're away from the place that you have all the intelligence on.
I am with you on that. Let's play the last video. This is the going back to the commander that held the gun wrong and this and that. It's a comms. He's not retarded. People, he's fired weapons before and he's put the scope on right before. This is absolutely a comms, and let's get into what it is. There's a good video on it. It's about 3.5 minutes, but it's worth watching. Here we go. The Eye of the Storm.
Okay, I figured that this whole post by the Navy and then the delete and all the stuff around it was comms, and I think we got some traction and it's pretty big. So I'm gonna go through it a bit. So if you're not familiar, the Navy put out this post, somebody firing off of a ship, but there's so much wrong the more you look at this picture, okay? Then like the Space Force retweets it, says, hey, even our space grunts know the proper direction to mount a scope. The scope on the rifle is backwards, but that's not all that's wrong. So people are looking at it and like, not the bee captured it and said the Navy posted this picture and deleted it, but you know, there's a whole lot wrong with it. The scope's backwards, the way he's got it up his shoulder is wrong, the way he has his arm is wrong, his forward hand is all wrong for that rifle. So everything you could be possibly doing wrong is wrong. So I was like, there's absolutely no way that this isn't have a deeper meaning, okay? And I think we're on to it, okay? So First thing that comes out is right here from Legs of Freedom and over there on Twitter. And he's like, hey, I saw you post that there's something up with that Navy tweet. Did you take a look and see, you know, what ship that was from and the commander and all that? And I was like, what? So we took a look. So the new U.S. Navy warship commander mocked for holding his rifle with his scope mounted backward. So here it is in the New York Post. But here's where it gets interesting, okay? The ship is the SS McCain, okay? And if you're not familiar with the comms around John McCain, I have a link that I'll drop that shows all the comms when Q gave us exactly 30 days notice of McCain checking out. And I go through that on show 48, and I'll leave the link. But again, so here's the post, all the issues. SS McCain. So here's where the Q, after McCain checked out, Q2305, Q was letting us know, did you notice that Q actually gave us the 30 days notice and the time and the day and everything, right down to the minute. And again, I'll drop the link that explains all that. So this was the post where after McCain got checked out, he said, did you notice? Coincidence? No name? No name is the nickname for John McCain. We don't say his name anymore. So he's no name. Exactly 30 days. Oh, and here's some interesting connections today. We just had Senator Graham activated around the whole abortion issue. I'll get into that on Friday's show too. Okay. So, Absolute took a look at what I was dropping over, and he said, okay.
So I find that interesting. Yep, Lindsey Graham was made surface yesterday, day before, whenever it was. So we have all this comms. So Q is clearly in operation. And it's going to be impossible for the mainstream media to swallow, because they're run by the CIA. They're run by the cabal. They're run by the deep state. So they're doing everything they can to stay in power, because once the people wake up and we avoid civil war, I know they're trying to push the civil war. Once we avoid civil war and we unite against the enemy is going to be financially bankrupt. We'll never be able to walk down the street again, as Q's talked about. And a lot of them are going to be suicide weekend, which is a Q post. And others will go face military tribunals recognized around the world, right? Because the law of war has been updated. And we're going to it. But in order to get there, we have to go through some pain and some shock in order to wake up the people. You and I talked about that last week on the show about the plan. What's the plan? The plan is to install the Constitution under two conditions: no coup, the Trump never signed the Insurrection Act, and no civil war, right? Didn't do it, you know. So that's where we're heading. Rich, how do we avoid civil war? If we know Texas is going to go crazy along with all the other blue cities and riots, how does the United States, the nation, the people, how do we avoid civil war?
Stand down. I mean, not engage. Realize that we're in a scripted situation that is under full control. Essentially, we're in a dissolution process, and this is the optics of the dissolution, is to go through this craziness, this circus show of exposure, and that it's already done, essentially, right? There isn't any risk. It's already set what's going to happen. It's just as a result of these evil people being pushed to do this and to stay out of this and to prevent this. It's to stand down. That's why they brought these immigrants in here. It's them that are the ones that are supposed to kick this thing off and to try to suck us in, right? And I mean,
and it's the foreign invaders that are going to activate the military per the law of man, which you and I discussed last week. So it's going to suck. I had a deep conversation with a former Luciferian last night, who's now a Catholic, and she'll be coming on my show in May. She said the war against Satan started with Jesus Christ, right? Jesus didn't come in peace, as he says, right? He didn't come here for peace. He came here to defeat the enemy, Satan, right? And that we Christians, we believers in God, would spend the next 2,000 years, what we're doing is defeating the enemy and coming out of the Babylon matrix. Exactly what we're doing, Rich.
You're right. You know, I mean, this matrix is being destroyed and exposed.
Yeah, we won 2,000 years ago at the very high level, but it's taken the last 60 some years with the assassination of JFK and other events to actually bring us to this point where we're going to win finally. And it's been a
You know,
long
it's up to us.
journey. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just going to say it's up to us. We're to engage. You know, the opportunity to engage in this thing and to play a role, play a part. And I think that specifically relates to the amount of people that come out on the other end of this thing, right? It's us who, by helping each other, working collectively, that ensures the most amount of the survivors,
Yeah.
right?
So we got like 4 or 5 minutes left. The eclipse. What do you think of the eclipse? Obviously, it felt like a nothing burger. Like it happened across the country. Nothing major happened. There were some chemtrailing going on. We'll see if people get sick in mass waves in the eclipse path in the next 10 days or so. But other than that, it was straightforward, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's obviously a marker. And if you look at history, the last time that that specific eclipse happened was 1811. Then the following months after that, massive amount of earthquakes, including an 8.8 kicked off on the Madrid Fault. The War of 1812 happened, where the British captured the United States, burnt the Library of Congress and the archives of the Constitution. It signifies major events to unfold. So,
And the
I mean, I think
two
that.
broods of cicadas haven't emerged together in the same spring season since 1811, 1812. So we're here again in the 13-year, 17-year cicadas, probably in, they're giant insects. So I think the translation from the Bible is locust, but I don't think it's locust at all. I think it's them personally. I think it's like the cicada insects at the end of the day, right? Things do get lost in translation, especially when you go from Hebrew to Greek to English. Over 2,000 years. And we know the Bible has been stepped on over and over and over again, right? Watered down, stepped on, things hidden from us. So it's amazing. But we're here now, right? So I'm agreeing with it. It's up to us, individuals. We have everything, as Q said, we do. We just have to open our eyes. We have to not partake in any of the violence. We don't need to react to the violence. We need to just survive the violence that's coming, because it is coming.
I
And it
mean,
needs
it's going
to
to be
come. We
horrifying.
need to go through a near-death experience to stop all of our meaningless lives. What do I mean by meaningless? Playing golf, going out for dinner, dating a girl. Really? I mean, yeah, okay, that's all wonderful, but no, we need to return to God. And the only way to do it is to show how meaningless our lives are without God. Rich?
It's going to take an incident of trauma to unfold in order to create a refocus of all of humanity, right? It's going to take them out of their lives and their routine, and it's going to put them in a position that their perception has to change. And I think that's going to be the big event, you know, that takes all these people that don't want to wake up. They just want to get through this without sticking their necks out and see what happens, banking on their hope that it's all too big to fail. And it's going to take a traumatic event, you know,
Big.
post-traumatic, right?
Yeah, it's going to be 100 times bigger than 9/11. And my next guest on my next episode is Richard Gage, AIA. We're going to dive deep into it. I know it's 23 years, but that is a story that changed American history. They forced a war in Iraq that didn't need to happen. They stole liberties through the Patriot Act. It's a very important thing. He's continuing. I'm going to continue it. I'm a New Yorker. Right, we need it. We need to come to a full, clean, clear understanding of everything that took place, everything they stole from us, everything they burned in the CIA Building 7, all of it. Rich?
You're right. It's everything. I mean, this event, this eclipse, I think that's what it's foretelling, is that we're going to have this huge upheaval and this massive shift that occurs as a result of it. It's not the incident, it's not the eclipse itself, it's what it signifies, you know, a shift.
Total shift. So for the audience, we're going to close out. Rich and I are going to be back next thir next week, end of next week, discussing his incredible stories about Sasquatch. Well, I'm also going to, before that, going to interview Brett Eichenberger, who is he was a director of the two-part series, and he's doing another Sasquatch story, and it's pretty amazing. So I'm going to focus on Sasquatch next week, because it's not what you think it is. It is not. It is actually a real thing, and it's really fascinating all of the different angles on it, because a lot of things we don't know, and Rich is going to shed a lot of light along with Brett. Rich, thank you very much. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.